Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. You have more in common with the Israelites of old than you might think. For starters, you and the ancient Hebrews are the chosen people of God. God thus expects you to keep his teachings and his instruction. Like the Israelites of old, you know what it means to suffer as a believer in this world. Persecutions, famine, nakedness, having too little, sickness, injury, mockery, family divisions, lost friends, wandering loved ones, and more. Like those who trusted in God, waited for his promises to come true, so you continue to place your faith and your trust in Jesus, God's own Son. You too wait for the promises of Jesus to come true for you. As Christians who suffer hardships for the church, for the gospel's sake, who wait and who long for the end of all of this corruption, all of the scandal of this world, you too speak with the Israelites of old. Oh, that you might rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations might tremble at your presence. For centuries, generations upon generations, Israelites waited for God to intervene on their behalf. Prophets God sent to them were okay. People usually rejected them, their message. They wanted God himself to make a dramatic appearance, put an end finally to all their misery, the wickedness of this world. For centuries, generations upon generations, the church has waited for God to intervene on her behalf in this world. Pastors are okay, but the people often let their words go in one ear and out the other, myself included. Church has wanted to make for God to make a dramatic appearance, finally, to put an end to the persecutions of Christians throughout the world, and an end to all the forms of misconduct, betrayals, lying, cheating, hating of this world. Oh, that God would rend the heavens and come down. And he did, though not very dramatically. God Almighty came down from heaven in the person of the Son, taking on mortal flesh, but hidden in the womb of a virgin. His entrance into this world was less than spectacular, at least to the eye. To be sure, angels did appear and sing of his arrival at his birth, but only lowly shepherds out in the field were privy to this revelation. Magi from the east came on a journey to find the baby who had been born king of the Jews. They had followed a star that had appeared, but apparently only they could see that star, for only the Magi actually made it to where Jesus was born. Not Herod, not anyone else. So Jesus' first coming into this world was pretty stealthy when you look at it, and even scandalous too. Born of a virgin who conceived before being married to her husband. Nevertheless, the promise of God was fulfilled. God's Messiah had arrived. Jesus was born, and the heavens were truly rent asunder, sort of. But that was the way God wanted it. God has always been about love for his creatures, his blessed creation. He wants all mankind to love him and to want to love him. He has never forced love out of anyone, and he never will. As another pastor has wisely said, God will not take anyone kicking and screaming into eternal life. And so God has acted in a way that is not totally obvious and is actually hidden from the world. As Isaiah says, there is no beauty to be found in the servant of God, no beauty in Jesus that would unnaturally attract anyone to him. That is, you could not tell simply by looking at Jesus that he was God in the flesh. No halo on his head, no special aura about him. But his actions, his words did reveal his divine nature. And yet there were more who doubted his identity as God in the flesh than those who truly believed it. Even so, God made all of this known. Then through Jesus' spoken word to the people, and now through the written word of the Bible. You see, God wants mankind to trust in him. And he has graciously then continued to provide all that we need to support this body and life for everyone as rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Most importantly, he has sent his only begotten Son to die a hideous death upon a cross for the sins of all in this world. That truly sounds like a God that any would love to worship and would want to adore. So what we get then, on Palm Sunday, our gospel reading for the first Sunday in Advent, interestingly enough, is the closest thing that we get to a public address to all those around that Jesus is the King. God come down from heaven. And he rides on the back of a donkey to the cheers of the crowd on a beast of burden, an animal of peace. Though Jesus means war for Satan, for our flesh, for the devil himself. Crowds gathered around him, throwing their cloaks on the road in front of him. Have you ever done that before? Anything warrant you throwing a coat on the ground in front of somebody who's walking? If you have, you're most likely in the minority there. The crowds shouted a great line of praise for one they believe to be God's, Christ, his anointed one, the Messiah, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father, David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered into the holy city with great fanfare. There was no missing his arrival that time into Jerusalem, and he meant it. He meant business as he arrived. He would soon drive out the wicked from the temple and run the religious leaders through the ringer with all of his parables that he would teach before his crucifixion. And all for the sake of life, for salvation for all mankind. The entry into Jerusalem, that was quite the event of that day. Truly a pinnacle moment for Jesus and for his followers in the eyes of the people. No doubt a little bit of vindication for those men who had endured the constant barrage against their master, the ridicule that they faced left and right. Now Jesus was the center of attention in the great and holy city, and no one could steal his thunder. But like the transfiguration account of Jesus, the moment of glory was only a moment. Jesus must descend that great pinnacle and enter into the valley of the shadow of death. He must go to the cross, and he must pay the price for all sin if we are to have salvation. Only he could do it, for that is what he came to do. Kind of interesting, though, if you think about it. The order of events during Holy Week is a bit backward. Jesus enters into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the first day of the week, what we call the triumphal entry, which is great, except that Jesus has not really triumphed yet. The cross and the empty grave will be his ultimate and final victory over sin, death, and the devil, and yet those events are still several days away. Nonetheless, the victory is sure. That is because of who the victor is. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the victor. Triumph then is a foregone conclusion. There will be no stopping Jesus. He will suffer and die, an apparent victory for Satan in the eyes of the world. But Jesus' resurrection from the dead will defang Satan from his power. Defeat or death will be swallowed up in victory. Death will lose its sting. Even now, as the church, we are living out that victory of Christ. We believe that we are in the millennium right now, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. He rules the world with truth and grace, we sing, with word and sacrament, more precisely. Jesus wins victories each and every time his gospel is proclaimed and his sacraments rightly administered. Each time you humbly confess your sins and receive absolution, Satan is beaten again. Victories mount up left and right for our King and our Lord. So all that awaits is the full realization of that victory on the last day. For the feast of victory for our God to be experienced by His people in His kingdom that has no end. Oh, that God would rend the heavens and come down. Oh, He has. And he does, and he will again. For Jesus has come, and he still comes to us in word and in sacrament. He will come again in victory on the last day. Hosanna in the highest, indeed. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.